This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
But we need to scold both the Kasoni and the Ta'avoni so as not to influence the Chefzi. The Chefzi being the power of desire. And desire is different to passion. Chefzi is motivation. Ta'avoni is desire, and Chefzi is motivation. And we don't want the motivation, the power of motivation should not be influenced by the Chefzi, by the Kasoni or the Ta'avoni. That should have no influence over motivation. And you can imagine what a pleasure it is to deal with people who operate like this. Imagine dealing with people whose motivations are not influenced by aggressions or by passions. You can sit down and work out logically with them what's the best thing to do. And that's the end of all machlokes. That would be the end of all machlokes. Because the source of machlokes is where motivation is influenced by one of those two, by aggressions or by passions. But if it's not influenced by aggression and by passion, but only by the seichel, so two seichels, two intellects can sit down and discuss something and agree to differ or persuade one another, whatever has to be done. We had a case, I'll just turn off the. Last night we were beating that, yeah? That he's able to move the Kasoni and the Ta'avoni mehatois hachefzi from in any way influencing motivation. Motivation should not be a function of fear, should not be a function of passion, it should not be a function of aggression. Motivation must be directed only by the intellect. The intellect decides and instructs the motivating force to get busy motivating. V'achar zois ha'atzor, and after this organization, yanhig ha'koyach ha'chefzi kol ha'evorim ha'meshamshim ha'isoy bizerizus v'charitzus v'simcho. Then, if he's done this, the koyach ha'chefzi, the power of motivation, will direct all the limbs that serve him with three elements. An element of zerizus. You can now work with zrizus. Did we ever translate zrizus? Energy. With zrizus, with energy, with charitzus, with precision, the simcha, and with joy. Then there can be joy. That's the role of the motivation. The intellect, the pure cold intellect, can't get the personality excited. The intellect can decide, it can rationalize, it can analyze, and it can reach conclusions, but it cannot get the personality excited, and the personality needs to be excited in order to function with zrizus. It needs to be excited in order to function with charitzus. It needs to be excited in order to function with simcha. That's the role of the chefzi. The power of motivation is to make one want to do it. When you want to do it, then you do it with zrizus and with simcha. But you can't skip that one. And unfortunately, that's part of the problem. Either you get people who have a koach hachefzi, but that koach hachefzi is being manipulated by the Ta'avoni and the Kasoni. And that's immaturity. That's when you get immature people, unstable people, doing all sorts of wild things. One day this and one day that. Whatever their passions direct them, that's what their motivational force, that's the direction in which their motivational force pushes them. And on the other hand, you get people, seichel, and they act upon their seichel, but the chefzi is dull and the chefzi is dead. So everything they do is a little slow and in an automated sort of fashion, and it doesn't have the spice of the koach hachefzi. There's no zrizus, there's no charitzus, there's no simcha. There's got to be joy in what one's doing, and that joy comes from the koach hachefzi. V'yamdu be'es ha'amidu mibli atzol, and you'll find the limbs able to stand at the time for standing without laziness. It's time to stand, get up. V'yishtachavu eishi etzavim li'yishtachavu, and they bow down when it's time to bow down. V'yeshvu be'is ha'yeshiva, they sit down when it's time to sit. U'mabitis ha'yinayim ha'botos ha'eved el adoinov, and the eyes look like an eved, like a servant to its master. The look in the face is one of an eved Hashem. V'yamdu ha'yodayim ima'aseihim, and one's hands stop doing things that they're not supposed to do. Just people have got no control of their hands. Why is that? Because their hands are not being directed by the Koach HaChetzi, which is being directed by the Koach HaSeichel. If this chain of command is established, then no limb lands up doing things that it's not meant to do. Everything is mechushban, everything is done specifically, calculatedly, correctly. The Mefoshim have difficulty with this phrase, and the one hand will not be clamped over the other hand. The difficulty is, what's wrong with them being clamped over the other hand? On the contrary, the Rambam passage is that when you stand in tefillah, you've got to in fact stand with the one hand over the other hand. What's the only thing that I can think that this might mean? I remember many, many years ago, I was visiting Reb Leib Gurwitz's wife in the hospital, and I was sitting like this. I remember I was sitting like that. And Reb Leib came in and he said, "Don't put your hands like that. Put the right one over the left one." I said, "Why?" He said, "It's in Kabbalah." I said, "That's all he said," and I never questioned him about it. And I can only imagine that that's what it means. But one won't sit with one's hands like this, which is not correct, but like that is all right. Again, it's just to show that there's detail in exactly how one places one's hands, even at time of rest, where one places them, and everything will be done correctly. Yeah. Of the Zohar, what does the Zohar say? Why? What's the word? What do we need to do? Okay, will you show me that inside? That's where for about 20 years I've been looking for that. The tishtaveno haraglayim la'amido, and the feet will stand ready for standing. The yamdu kol ha'ivorim kenivholim ha'yireim la'asos mitzvas manhigom. And all the limbs will stand, can it hold him like people who are ready, absolutely ready and with full yiro to do the mitzvah of their leader. V'lo yargishu al mechush, and they will not feel anything. V'lo al hepsed im yelohem, and not in a deficiency if they have it. An amazing thing we've got here in the Kuzuri. Now, if you remember, I said in the shir a couple of weeks ago, how it's amazing that the tzoros always befall the people who in any case are not that. You find the people who aren't regular at shiurim when they're feeling fine are the people who always land up getting headaches and stomach aches and breaking their legs and hands and all sorts of funny things happen. And the people who are always there, though, whether they feel fine or good, some of these things don't happen to them as much as it does. It's always the onsim always happen to certain types of people. Here he goes, he says, "V'lo yargishu amechush." When a person says, and I said to you then, I think Churchill said that most of the work in the world is done by people, is done most of the time by people who are not feeling very well. People, sorry, I'm not feeling well. Can't come to the shiur today. People don't realize that most people don't feel well most of the time. The only question is to what extent you allow it to get the better of you. If you'll sit quietly, as I said before, if you go home after the bris, lock your door, sit in your room and concentrate on the different parts of your body and on the possible pains you might be feeling there. I assure you, you will find all the most worrying pains all over your body, and you can become a hypochondriac immediately. You can get yourself into a headache, into a stomach ache, you can feel a cancer growth, you can feel all sorts of things developing all over the thing. There's such a thing as lo yargishu al mechush, as having a headache but not feeling it, having a stomach ache but not feeling it, having a pain but not feeling it, being distracted but not being distracted by it, having a tircha but not around these tables at this moment. Say, I don't believe there's any such person. One has a pain, one has a worry, one has a crisis, one has a member of family with a pain or with a crisis. There's something, everybody has something which is cause for distress. The only difference is whether yargishu amechush or not, to what extent you allow that to dictate to you. And if you're operating with this chain of command, says the Kuzari, seichel, to the koach hachefzi, to the limbs, lo yargishu ameichus. Not that you won't have headaches, you won't feel your headaches. Velo al hefzidim yeloyim, and if there's a part of your body which isn't functioning properly, you don't feel it. But you overcome it. V'yiyye haloshin maskim im hamachshovo lo yosif olov. This is a wonderful thing. Having a particular problem with the two things I can do for you. He says, the one thing is I can give you a drug, and I assure you, whenever you have this particular thing, you'll take that drug and you won't have a problem. So that's the one approach. He says, I'm not going to use that approach. I'm going to explain to you what's happening, and you're going to make sure yourself that it never happens again. This is what he took out pencil and paper, and he described, he spent an hour with me going right through exactly what was going on and why it was going on. It never happened again. It's an understanding that you can have a problem and overcome it if you're being driven by the seichel. And those were still the words he used. He says, with your power of understanding, you'll overcome the problem. You don't need a drug. Furthermore, the tongue will end up agreeing with one's mind. Lo yosif olov, and will not add to it. So again, we try and control our mouths that we should speak honestly and so on, but says the Kuzri, the whole thing has to be controlled. You can't just control a part of you. The system of command has to be set up. If you're working seichel to koach hachefzi, to limbs, then automatically your tongue will only say that which you think, because your tongue doesn't move without being instructed to. The whole system of living changes. And once you're operating on the basis of the limbs are instructed by the koach hachefzi, and the koach hachefzi is instructed by the mind, then automatically you're not going to land up saying things that you don't mean, or saying things that you don't feel honestly. And you'll find yourself not davening as if it's minag and teva, and just rattling it off. What is a zarzir? It's a crow, I think. Crows, it's crowing away. What is it? Nothing. You won't land up like that. Vahagiva, you see, the nusach acher is a papagai, not like a parrot either. Babbling away, and what does it all mean? It doesn't come from any kind of deliberation. Elohim kol milo machshovo v'kavonobo, that you will find that with every word there is a thought and an intention. There's two different things. Thought and intention are two different things. Thought is that original motivation. Kavona is the deliberateness, the direction of that word. Each word in the davening will then be preceded by thought and accompanied with kavona. If one operates this way, then all these things fit into place if one operates this way. And now the Kuzri comes into one of his very important concepts, that the time of davening then becomes the heart of his time and its fruit. Time, like place, center. Place, we establish a home as a center. We establish a Beis HaMedrash as a center. So time needs its center points, that around which everything else revolves. And davening is meant to be one of those. V'yiyu sha'ar itoysov kedrochim hamagim el ho'esohi. And his other times will be paths that go towards that time. Davening is not just something that you do at certain times. Davening is the thing to which everything else is meant to lead. Yis'ave kirvosoy. He will crave the coming of davening. Now, sometimes you see people, as lunchtime starts approaching, they're looking at their watch, they start getting excited, they start already anticipating what they're having for lunch. It becomes quite a center of interest. It should be with davening as well. Watching, is it time for mincha yet? Nearly time for mincha? Nearly time for mincha. Stop and just for 15 minutes communicate with Ribbono Shel Olam directly. How's it going? Every few minutes, look at your watch again until the time comes. Finally comes the moment of Chatzos HaYom, and half an hour afterwards, and you can start davening. And immediately you stop what you're doing, you go to davening. It's a mechaya. That's how it's meant to be. Sheboi misdame beruchnim v'yisrachik me'habahemim, because that's a moment in time where you can feel and be like a spiritual being and be far from a physical being, from a bohemian, from the animal side. So again, that's from last night's shiur. That's the moment that you're able to crack open that outer shell to allow the ruchnius to emerge. It's something that should be craved for. Those are moments that we should wait for with dedication. One should come to shul. There should be a queue outside already, waiting. Everybody should be waiting before the davening, ready in their places, talis and tefillin on, ready for the moment that tefillah can start, anticipating it. That's how it should be. If you go Lahavdil Elef Avdolus, you go to the movies, what do you find by the time the main movie comes? Find people walking in, slowly coming in. No, they've been sitting there eating popcorn already for half an hour, watching stupid adverts, so that they shouldn't chas v'sholem miss the first few moments. If they know that it starts at, the main movie starts at 8:40, are they there at 8:10, 8 o'clock, 8:25 already? That's it, they're all sitting in their seats waiting, staring. And then comes interval a few minutes before, there's nothing on the, they're absolutely blank, they're still all sitting there, looking, waiting for it to start. Chas v'sholem, comes davening, starting time for davening. One person trickles in, another person trickles in, another one trickles in. What does it mean? That's really indicative of where we're really holding. Sorry? Should have hot dog stands outside. And the fruit of a person's day and night should be the three times of davening. And the fruit of the week, Yom HaShabbos. Shabbos is to the week what Shachris Mincha and Ma'ariv is to the day. Because that's an opportunity to cleave to the concept of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And his avoido is then with joy and not with kniyo, not with subjugation, with subjection. There's a simcha, there's a joy in his service of Hashem. Kasher is bored, as has been established. And this seder for the nefesh is like the seder of food for the body. This for the soul is what food is for the body. Mispalel nafshoi v'nizon legufoi. Tfilo for the soul and food for the body. Umasmedes olov birkas atfilo ad is tfilo acheris. And the brocha that results from tfilo stays with him until the next tfilo. Kehasmodos koach zudas hayoyim ad sheyisod balaylo. Just as the power, the force of lunch keeps you going until supper time. But what happens if you skip supper? Doesn't help to say that you had lunch. And you start feeling it very quickly. It's the most amazing thing. You have lunch at 1 o'clock. Finish at 2 o'clock. Good. Then you go fine. No problem. Come to the shir, 5:30, down to mincha, shir, no problem. 6, 7 o'clock you get home. And your wife says, sorry, she's late with supper. It'll soon be ready. 7:30, 8 o'clock. What do you start feeling already? Start getting agitated a little bit. But you had lunch. How long ago did you have lunch? 5 hours ago? 6 hours ago? Already agitated? Yes. So you're 1 hour late for supper and already your stomach starts feeling it. 2 hours late for supper, you're getting irritable already. You should know it's the same with tefillah. If you had shachris and you're getting late for mincha, the neshama starts emptying out. It needs to be recharged 3 times a day, and if it doesn't get that recharge, it's empty. And it functions differently. V'chol asher tirchak eis ha-tfilo me'ha-nefesh. And the longer in the distant past is tfilo for the soul. Hi ho'leches v'kuderes b'mashir bogeo iso m'iske ha'ilom. The neshoma carries on getting more and more depressed and blackened by the exposure it has during the day. The neshoma isn't treated very sensitively when you're out on the street. The neshoma is constantly being hammered. Every time you see something ugly, every time you hear something unpleasant, every moment that the neshoma is not involved in learning and in avodah, every moment of that it's soul bashing. But it can survive until tefillah comes, tefillah in it on its own again. It gets recharged and it can go out again. But every moment that the last tefillah recedes more and more into the past, the more the neshoma becomes blackened. Kol Shechinim Yevi'ohu Atzurich Lechevras Norim V'Noshim V'Royim. And how much more so does the soul suffer if force of circumstances brings one into the company of Na'arim. Na'arim can mean one of two things. It can mean young people. One of three things. It can mean young people. So number one, there's nothing wrong with that. Melamed Tinoik is a big mitzvah to teach cheder children, to teach in a yeshiva. There's nothing wrong with young people. But Na'arim can mean immature people. That's a big problem. To be in the company of immature people is very demanding on the soul. Very, very demanding on the soul. And it can mean also a na'ar means a foolish person, which is also very demanding on the soul. V'noshim. And being in the company of women is also demanding on the soul. For different reasons altogether, but it demands, it's very demanding on the soul. V'ro'im. And wicked people. Then certainly the soul has a battery. The yishmo mashi yakdir zokus nafshe. And if he hears things which blacken the purity of his soul, he just hears harsh words, untrue words, unpleasant words. Midvorim ki'urim v'nigunim shetate ha'nefesh aleihem v'lo yuchalim shobo. From ugly words or tunes, which makes the soul attached to it and he can't, there's nothing you can do about it. That's the power of music. It can also cause the soul to follow it, and if it's music which is not beautiful, if it's music which is not pleasing to the soul, then the neshama suffers terribly. So here you go around during the day being exposed to all sorts of these hard and ugly influences. What happens to the neshama? It gets drained and drained and drained. It's just like a battery, like these rechargeable batteries. And it gets drained and drained until the point where it doesn't function anymore, and you're actually running around without a functioning neshama. That's actually what happens. Uva esa tfilo, until one comes back to tfilo, mitaher nafshoi mikol mashikodom. You can clean out everything which has been there before. That's the power of tfilo. You can remove the influences of all that you've had during that period of time. Viyisnake also, then it can be cleaned out for the future. And you're now back to a position that you were before, cleaned out of the past few hours of unpleasant circumstances, of unpleasant exposure. But tefillah can't clear out more than a few hours. Then you have to take it to the garage for a real recharging. That's a different thing. Tefillah can only clean out 4, 5, 6 hours of unpleasant exposure. More than that already, tefillah is not strong enough. And if you go a week this way, where every few hours you're recharging your soul, until the soul and the body have been thus cleansed and improved. However, but during the week there are the odd exposures which are so forceful that tefillah can't even clean them out. That needs an entire day of recharging with the body protected from all of these influences. And then the body finds itself being recharged on Shabbos with what it was lacking during the 6 days, and it's now ready to face the future of the next week. These are the constant rechargings that have to be put in to the neshama in order to enable it to function properly during the time that it has to go. And these are an approach and an attitude to Avodas Hashem, at least to this aspect of Avodas Hashem, the fixed time issues, tefillah, Shabbos. He's going to treat the Yomim Tovim in the same way, that there are just times in the day where we have to pull ourselves out and recharge our batteries, the times in the week, the times in the month, the times in the year, that this recharging has to take place. And we have to do whatever we can to set ourselves up in a way where this functions. And I would like us to each one of us, to not let this limud, this is such a beautiful limud, and the danger exists that we're going to go through this Maimar HaShlishi of the Kuzuri and not be terribly different at the end of it to the way we were before it. The only way that this can really do anything is if we use it. And the only way to use it is, number one, to revise it. Several times during the week, the piece of Kuzri that we did that Sunday should be revised. Something like this that one remembers and that one really gets into oneself properly. Secondly, that it's used. That it really is used. And I've said before that I would like everybody to get into the routine of davening in the Beis HaMedrash at least. You're late for Shacharis, doesn't matter, you still come and daven. If you daven at home, this whole thing is unlikely to work. Because there are distractions there, and it's not to take oneself away. The whole idea, if we're going to look at davening as a mini Shabbos, you've got to take yourself out of your routine a little bit. And I would like everybody to leave their talus and tefillin at the shul, and whatever time it is, at least that. But when they come, they daven, they leave their environments and they come and they daven in their place in the shul. It's 6:30, it's 6:45, it's 7:30, 8:00, whatever time it is. That this is where one comes to daven. That mincha, that more of an effort is made to be here in time for mincha. Mincha is at 9:30. It's an opportunity to uplift the neshama poshut. Why limit that time? After that, there's 10 minutes of teres habayis. It's a mechaya, that limud, to get the koach hachefzi going. That's what that limud does. That by the time you sit down to the shir, your koach hachefzi is operating already, and it's instructing yourself to be attentive and to learn something which normally takes place only halfway into the shir already, by which time you've missed half the shir. It's an opportunity to daven a mincha, to hear 10 minutes of teres habayis of Chofetz Chaim, to sit down to some gemara for an hour, to daven ma'ariv. After an hour and a half like that, one's ready to go out to into an evening feeling refreshed and feeling rejuvenated, and the neshama is elevated a little bit. I've told somebody this week that one of the reasons that I've wanted the shir at this particular time rather than late in the evening was a lady who was complaining to me that her husband comes home and she's got things that she wants to discuss with him at home when he comes home, but he comes home so exhausted that she hasn't got the heart to do it. So then they get on to other things, the evening comes, the next day repeats, and so these things mount up, and she lands up not communicating with him because she hasn't got the heart to communicate with him when he comes home. And I said to her, that's one of the reasons that I've always wanted the shir after work, that a husband should come home not from work, but a husband should come home from the Beis HaMedrash. Comes home from the Beis HaMedrash, the husband is rejuvenated, he's had his time already, he's broken it, his neshama is elevated, his mind is operating, he can now handle his home. He can look at his children properly, he can direct them properly, he can communicate with his wife properly. He doesn't come home emotionally and spiritually exhausted. When one comes home from work, it's not the physical exhaustion which is the problem. Physically exhausted, one isn't so physically exhausted. One recovers very quickly and one can go out again in the evening. It's not that, the physical exhaustion is not the problem. That can be overcome. The problem is the emotional drain. And here the Kuzri is putting his finger on it. The Neshama's poshet been knocked around and it doesn't operate anymore after that. If a person comes home into the Beis HaMedrash and gets a recharge before he goes home, then his homecoming is tachay mechay for the family. Then he's not coming home like a wrung out schmatter. He's coming home with a bit of drive in him, with a bit of resilience in him. And these are things that have to be introduced into your routine if you want to change your routine from a secular routine into a routine of B'nai Torah. It's not on Mondays, on Thursdays when there's a shir to come, and the other nights to sort of schlep in at 6:00, 6:30, just a yetzer to zayin. If these things, if you understand, if you grasp the principles here, then you've got to rigidly institute a routine. Comes 5:30, that's my time for recharging. That's it. It's mincha, an hour's learning. It's mincha, 10 minutes teres habayis, an hour's learning, ma'ariv. That's what it is. Then I go home. And then I'm ready to face the music. And I'm ready for a night. I'm ready to rest and to start the next day again. Comes the next day, it's shachris. Shachris at the right time, if I can make it. If not, at least it's in the Beis HaMedrash. I stand with my talis on, with my tefillin on, and I spend 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever it is, with the Ribbono Shel Olam in the Beis HaMedrash, and I'm ready to go out into the day. At least there's that, as an absolute minimum. But if we don't actually develop this routine, then it's all a bit of a chvatzad. So we're learning a couple of new things. We're learning the Sefer HaKuzri, like at universities. We're learning the Kuzri's approach to the Jewish routine. We don't want to learn the Kuzri's approach to the Jewish routine. We want to adopt the Kuzri's approach to the Jewish routine. This is Torah Shabbat Peh. This is Mesoris. This is the way it's meant to be. This is the way one has to do it. And one sees over and over again that the people who follow this, even without having to learn it, are the people who progress. And they don't just progress in one area. They progress in every area. Everything runs better. Everything operates better. Their home life is better. Their learning is better. Their work life is, everything is better. Because you're working with a dynamic neshama. And people who are not following this routine are working with a dull neshama. And if you're operating with a dull neshama, there's a limit to what can be achieved in any area. It's a matter of life and death. It's not even an option of should I or shouldn't I. The question is, how can one operate any differently? How can one possibly operate any differently? This needs to be chazed over and instituted as an absolute standard that mustn't be broken under any circumstances.